we hear of the cleansing of the 10 lepers in this story, it's understood that 9 of the 10 were worshiping out of centuries-old Jewish traditions that were unchanged, primarily central to Jerusalem. One of the 10 was a Samaritan living to the north. And over many, many, many centuries, those traditional Jews had ostracized Samaritans, who centuries before their time here, through the exile at the hands of the Assyrians and the Babylonians, were dispersed. And as they were coming back, the traditional Jews didn't like the way those from Samaria worshipped. And so there was this cultural divide, there was this religious divide, there was an embittered passion that enraged in really negative ways, in that the Samaritans had offered, when the Temple of Jerusalem had been destroyed in the 6th century, they offered to actually extend a hand and put aside their biases and to help rebuild the Jerusalem Temple, and the traditional Jews said no. So there was this divide. And so know that that's some of the friction here. And Jesus, in this healing, among other things, is working to close the gap, to bring them into reconciliation, and to bring them together in community. Hear these good words from chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God, the word of truth for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I believe that there is definitely a difference between healing and being cured. There is a difference, and sometimes we confuse the two. By example, I want to share that when I was in fifth grade, I did something that was, well, I'll just say stupid. But God is gracious, and I'm thankful for that. I was cutting the grass, and the grass was wet, and I hadn't timed it well, but my parents said you needed to get it done. So I did, and I was always taught by my father, who was a first-generation college student, grew up on a farm in central Illinois, that engines do not have a mind to turn off and turn on. And so you never touch an engine, particularly moving parts, when it is running. I forgot that for a moment, and so I didn't have a grass catcher, and the grass is kind of billowing out the side, and I thought, well, that's getting in the way, so I'll just go down and kind of slap it away. And I don't know if in my conscience or subconscious or in the confusion, it's a big lawn, I heard something strike like a twig, you know, and I didn't feel anything, and I just kept mowing, and I mowed about 20 more feet, and I found my hands just soaked, and my fourth ring finger here was dangling on the front. I'm glad it hit it, and I ran to my father, and he saw it, and he helped me in the kitchen, and we ran water through it, and long story short, I had the gift of those who offer healing, doctors and nurses who put a pin in that finger and let it set. And I was told that I had about a 25 to 30% chance that joint would ever move, but the doctor reminded me that I was very fortunate that I didn't lose the entire finger, if not further damage to my hand. You know, I was kind of bummed as a child, and even to adulthood still, I'm kind of bummed that I can't move that joint all the way. But you know, I was healed, but I wasn't cured. I can still use that finger. It's not perfect. I didn't get illness or disease or infection. There was healing, but it's not entirely new. Wasn't cured. Years later, many years later, as recent as a few years ago, I was helping my wife remove a screened-in tent area that we had in the back of the yard that through heavy storm had bumped against the house. And I was hurried to come home from work and then to go back, and I'm helping her put this all together. And one of the iron clamps collapsed and hit the front of my index finger. And as soon as it did, I knew that it was broken, and it was. Extremely painful. But I went to the doctor. We didn't have to remove the finger. We let it set on its own. Again, was said, you may not have full motion with that finger, and I don't. So I'm not cured, but I was healed. Healed for this to work as best as it can. And I'm thankful that I still have my full index finger, and I have my full ring finger, and that I have mobility for my right hand. I praise God for an imperfect yet healed hand. More seriously, my father at 64, who lived to 89, for 25 years battled heart disease. And over the years, he was offered the gift of healing, not curing his heart disease, but through the gifts of the world and nature and science and the art and giftedness of doctors, nurses, and surgeons, they did stents. And they gave him pharmacology that extended his life and time with my wife and with me and my three siblings and the grandchildren. And he got to see weddings and he got to see graduations. And so he knew in his life, he agreed with me theologically, that he was never cured of his heart disease. The arteries in that area were diseased and they were weak. But he lived in gratefulness and thankfulness. You could see it in his last days and his last moments when he passed on in salvation that he experienced in this world, but an uninterrupted bridge to the next. He had a sense of peace, gratitude, and thankfulness for the repeated ways in which God had offered him healing to extend and live life. Sometimes we live in the tension in our humanity, in our theology, in our prayers with healing and being cured. And sometimes we still desperately want people to be cured. So just almost 2 years ago, my wife's older sister in her 50s was devastated by massive strokes. And in our time, it's often difficult to know what to do in working with healing science that extends life, but is it really extended and is it still life at all? We're still wrestling with those questions because my sister-in-law, she can't speak well. She can only move barely one of her hands. She has to be fed. And we're learning over time, which is most difficult for her children, that through prayers and presence of God and Christ and people of faith, that she may never be cured of her stroke, where all the damage goes away and all the brains, the veins and arteries are cleaned so that she can live and breathe, and the neuroscience of her life extends it. We don't think that's going to, but we know that she has been healed. And we know that she's receiving healing. And how do we know that? We can see it in her eyes, and we can see it in her tears of joy when people hold her hands and they pray with her and they know our presence and they know our care. And you can see this gathering, even in her brokenness and her suffering, of her faith. She may never be cured, but she is healing until she receives her final healing, as all of us will receive final healing with God. Now, mind you, miracles do happen. You've probably heard them or maybe even experienced them. And there's mystery in that, and there's unknown in that. We don't know, and we're uncertain why God chooses to not just heal but to cure the person that's been diagnosed with cancer and then they're totally cancer-free. The person that has high blood pressure or heart disease is suddenly cured. We don't know. It happens rarely, but it does happen. So we allow provision for that. But in the story, so we see an intersection of healing and being cured beyond the physical act as a sign of the power of God incarnate in the flesh in Jesus Christ to be the power, the love, and presence beyond anyone's imagination. And by example of that power, that God can do anything, God cures. God cures 10 lepers. But I believe that only one in the story was actually healed. You see, 10 of the lepers, as they all had that common disease, which was horrible, were away from community. They sought to not be alienated with others, to be received in the temple. And back then, and I don't know how it happened, it must have been rare, the only way that you were deemed healed is to receive a certificate of cleansing or healing from the priests. And so they're on their way. Jesus tells them to go. And they are healed on the way. And 9 of them just go on. Almost as if they take it for granted. 9 who knew Jesus the most in Jewish tradition, in Jewish law, in worship. And they go on. We don't know if they thanked others, but they never returned. The Samaritan, who was the most alienated in society, returns. All 10 you see being cured, but the one who returns is healed, and how so? He returns to Son of God to give thanks, to give praise, to lay himself before Jesus, to give all the credit to God and Jesus Christ. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, where are the other 9? But you have come. Go, get up, for your faith has made you well. And if we interpret made you well out of ancient Greek, it means you have received salvation. You understand it, you get it. Me, Son of God, to not just offer physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, wholeness, wellness of your entire life here and now, if you focus on my Father who sent me. That's your wellness. That's your ultimate healing. Where the 9 others were only preoccupied with their physical healing. What about you? Do you know the difference between healing and being cured for yourself and for others? And when you're not sure, do you bring it to God and do you ask for help and discerning in your prayers and your action and to step back and to let go of the power and control and let God and Christ do as they will do. But ultimately understand that our healing is spiritual. It's with our whole being. Jesus Christ brings that. Now, I believe another reason why that one was healed was because of his answer to a very important question. And that question stems for me back into my childhood with my siblings, where they were teaching us courtesies with kindness and things that were being offered to us. And someone would gift us or say a kind word, and I would forget to say thank you. And my mother or father would lean down and say, are you forgetting something? Gently but firmly. So I can imagine my parents gently or firmly, if they were there, saying to the 9, if they could, are you forgetting something? To be thankful, to be grateful in the mystery, in the unknown, the unseen, but to just avail ourselves and give thanks to God and Jesus Christ from when we are healed or cured or whatever, but we give all glory to God for the presence of Christ in our lives. And that is what the Samaritan did. He said, thank you. And I admit in my life, which could be a sermon series, there have been many times when in the experiences of healing in my life and others where I have not been thankful and I have not been grateful. But God in Jesus Christ kind of nudges me with the question, are you forgetting something? There have been times in my life when I have, perhaps as the nine lepers who didn't return, who take God's healing action for granted. Pray it, be there, Jesus, get it done, and if it's not done, I won't be thankful, I won't be grateful, and I won't give the credit, and I may become angry, and I may become embittered, but you know what? God can take it, and God receives us over and over again. And we don't know the rest of the story with the nine who didn't return in that moment, but they may have had another opportunity when they came back to Jesus to say, thank you, and I praise you for ridding of my leprosy, but more importantly, giving me salvation to know you more closely, more intimately, and to bring me into community. In this past week, I was reminded in ministry with someone that I've pastored for really my entire time here that is not a member of the church. They're not connected to the community of faith, but they're connected to the area. And we've befriended one another. And in pastoral care for this person, I've discovered that the person struggles deeply with physical ailment, with emotional ailment for himself and others. And there's great challenge in that. And we pray for that. The doors would be open to provide healing. But he knows not necessarily for his afflictions physically and emotionally that he'll be cured. But he does know he's a strong person of faith, that he is on a path of healing to wellness, to wholeness, because he knows God and Jesus Christ is present with him throughout the journey. And he's stronger for it, and I find it remarkable that he's that strong. And I think about the thousands and millions of others who rely on their faith. And I'm convicted that sometimes in my faithlessness or others' faithlessness, that we can find examples of people who, for whatever affliction they're perplexed with or troubled with or labored with, can still keep their head high and find healing and, yes, have bad days, but be healed. Our faith tells us to be thankful, to be gracious. And the unknown and the unseen, sometimes seen and known mysteries of healing and being cured. But hold on to the important word of healing. That regardless of what happens to you in body, mind, and spirit, you are healed through your faith. And you do not walk alone. We know that glory and we know that strength. Carry it and share it with others. Amen.